Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isn't he wonderful tonight? Give him a big hand clap of praise. You love him with all your heart. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand tonight, and tell them this. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to see all of you in the house of the Lord tonight. Certainly is. Praise the Lord. Amen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous run into. They are saved. Love you, buddy. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous run into, they are saved. So blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Well, praise the Lord. Now, this service tonight, as you know, New York, New Jersey, and a lot of the eastern seaboard states, and New England states in particular, have been devastated by a lot of the weather. And Brother Robert Marrero and his assembly, they're not going to be able to go back to their church to have services for maybe a week or so, maybe even 2 weeks, just depending. They've got everything in New York the way he told us. It's everybody's under a curfew, and they can't get out. They can't get out and just, as we would say, meander around. They've got to pretty much stay in their homes. But they're streaming this service tonight. And I told Brother Robert, I said, we're going to dedicate this service not only for our congregation, but for your congregation as well. So could you say a big praise the Lord to Brother Robert Marrero and his church? Give that assembly a nice hand tonight. Praise the Lord. Told him that we would certainly request prayer for the situation there. Just a devastating situation. And if you've listened to the news and seen anything in the newspapers, you're certainly aware of what's going on. Now, he gave me a phone number. He said many folks from here to Happy Valley in particular had been trying to call him. And their phone systems, their towers are all down. But he has one phone number, and he wants me to give it to you. And I said, Brother Robert, are you sure you want me to get that number out? And he said, yes, I am sure. I said, Brother Robert, are you absolutely? I asked him three times. I said, are you certain you want me to give that number out? And he said he did. So I'll post his number to be on the bulletin board. After service, you can pick this number up if you'd like to just text him or send him a message, call him. You all don't realize just how much he loves this assembly. He very much cares for this assembly. So we certainly want to pray for that situation, not only Brother Robert, but people in general that's in trouble tonight. Let's pray for those folks as well. We want to pray for Brother Tracy, having trouble keeping his balance. So we certainly want to pray for his situation tonight. Brother Charlie says to request prayer from the angels and the Lord here for our son Danny, who has a bad infection and it is affecting his health. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Danny Torres that the Lord would just be with him and let everything be well. Sister Esther Linichek says, I want to thank the Lord and everyone for praying for me. The surgery went good and I had very little pain afterwards. She wants to praise the Lord for that. Brother Barclay offers his testimony. Brother Richard's wife, Frances Campbell, fell down their basement stairs and the Lord protected her after prayer. She was feeling okay. Also, her right knee is still hurt from a previous injury. Today they took an x-ray needing prayer for complete recovery. So let's remember that tonight. Here's a prayer request to please pray for Carolyn Perkins in stage 3 of a kidney disease. So we certainly pray for that need tonight. Sister Marcy, having flu-like symptoms, not feeling well. Brother John Roberts sends that in. I want to pray for Lauren Jackson. The doctors found a spot on her brain. They think it is just an infection. She has been put on medication. Joe Jackson sends that in, so we certainly pray for that need tonight. Brother Barry English wants us to remember Megan and their grandchild. They'll be flying here on Friday, that they'll have a safe flight. And for his mother, going to have some stress tests done on Friday. And he just wants to thank you for in advance for you praying for those situations. Sister Linda Maxwell is in the hospital with severe pain in her back, has very low blood pressure, and some tests are being run on her heart and lungs. Her white blood count is high, and the doctors are trying to find the cause. Please remember her in prayer, so let's pray for that need tonight. I want to pray for Sister Janet Kennedy's daughter, Summer, who is having her second child, and wants everyone to pray that there will be no complications, as she had many complications with the first child. So they're asking that we would remember her in prayer. Brother Jim Hughes offers his testimony tonight. We requested prayer for my dad on Saturday night for gallbladder surgery. He is home today and doing great. He has had little or no pain after the surgery without the help of any medication. He wants to praise the Lord for that. We want to thank everyone for your prayers and God for his healing. So praise the Lord for that tonight. Here's another prayer request in regard to Brother Tracy. Benjamin Horniak, high fever, needs prayer. So let's remember that need tonight. Sister Irene Pierce says to please pray for Mike Pierce. He's having a lot of kidney problems because of fluid buildup around his lungs. The doctors have him on a lot of diuretics and are causing the kidneys to become worse. Thank you and may God bless. So let's remember that need tonight. Brother Al Stevens from New York says, please pray for my wife Dawn. Tomorrow she is having surgery and staying overnight. Please pray that the surgery goes good with no infections. And they just want you to know that says at the bottom that we're praying for Brother Donnie's granddaughter that had the head injury and all of you at Happy Valley. So it's good to know folks are praying for us too, isn't it? All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about. Well, we just thank God for His grace and His mercy, don't we? Without the Lord, where would we be tonight, church? What kind of shape would our life be in? Oh, what a time it is. Let's sing that little chorus together one more time. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. That's scripture, isn't it? The righteous run into and they're safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous run into, they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into, and they are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sing it.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High.
Amen. Let's just bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, Lord, we believe that You are our high tower today. Lord, we know according to Scripture that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Lord, the enemy's done his best, Lord, as we can hear, Lord, how he's on the rampage, Lord, going to and fro, sickness on every hand, destruction. Lord, we realize it's the hour of it. But we're Your children, Lord, and we believe that there's a place of safety. There's a place of security that a believer can be in. And Lord, we claim each every need, Lord, has been turned in this evening, Lord. We curse the sickness on their bodies. Father, we pray, may the Holy Spirit, may You move upon each one, Lord. We give these requests into Your hand, knowing, Lord, that You are able and more than able tonight. We count, Lord, that Your hand is upon Your children, Lord. Lord, and we ask that for these things that's been turned in. Lord, we just consider them as we heard Your prophet say today. These are just opportunities. Hallelujah. They're opportunities for our faith to move. Opportunities for us to be able to believe. We believe for each one now, Father. We ask, Lord, may You go with each one in Jesus' name. We claim healing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother David. God bless you tonight. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we want to welcome you, all those folks that are streaming this service tonight from around the world. We pray that this service would be a blessing to those folks as well tonight. Let's sing an old, old song, but I'm so glad that it's still real. Aren't you glad there's victory in Jesus? Aren't you glad there's victory in Jesus? Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin, and I won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me, and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again, and He caused the blind to see. Then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me a victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Now I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing
victory. Oh, victory. My Savior, He sought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere and all my love. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I know there's victory in Jesus, my Savior. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere and all my love. He plunged me beneath the cleansing blood. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told old Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Oh, now joy is mine. Yes, joy is mine. Today is mine. I told old Satan, get thee behind. Joy today is mine. Oh yes, now peace is mine. Peace is mine. Peace today is mine. I told old Satan, today is mine. Oh, now healing is mine. Healing is mine. Healing today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Healing today is mine. Well, the Holy Ghost is mine. Holy Ghost is mine. The Holy Ghost today is mine. I told old Satan, get thee behind. The Holy Ghost today is mine.
Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. There ain't no need to go around in the down and outs, are they? Even though we get down and out sometimes. We have our moments that we just really need people to take us in their arms and hold us and love us and pray for us and encourage us. But there's no need to go around down and out. You've got too many good things going for you. Your future is totally out of this world. It is totally out of this world. You just don't realize it. Give the Lord one more good hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We're going to have a song. Brother Fred Green, I want him to come. Get ready to give us a song. Brother Fred, if you'll come at this time. Get ready to give us a song. You've been rehearsing, practicing over with Brother Larry, and he's ready to sing for you tonight. And we may just have another. I may get Brother David Siler up here to give us a song. I know. Don't start. Just don't start. He starts every time we say something about singing. He starts something. But we love to hear him sing, don't we? We love to hear him bring the word of the Lord too, don't we? Brother David, God bless you. We love you, buddy. Get us a song ready after Brother Fred sings, if you will. Brother Fred, hurry. Bless his heart. We appreciate our brother, Brother Fred. God bless him tonight.
There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord, where the call of His Spirit is lost, and you hurry along with the pleasure mad throng. Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed, have you counted the cost? Will you trade your hope of eternity's morn for one moment of joy at the most? For the glitter of sin and the things it will win, have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost and you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed, have you counted the cost? While the door of His mercy is open to you, ere the depth of His love you exhaust, won't you come and be healed? Won't you whisper, "I yield"? Have you counted the cost? Sing it with me. Have you counted the cost? If your soul,
where God has sent the bride's revival one more time like He did in the Bible. Spirit of the Lord is sweeping across this land. We'll go ahead, Satan, and surrender. There's nothing gonna hinder. The coming of the Lord is at hand. Where God has sent the bride's revival one more time like He did in the Bible. Spirit of the Lord is sweeping across this land. Go ahead, Satan, and surrender. There's nothing going to hinder. The coming of the Lord is at hand.
This is the way Puppet said it. This is the way that I read it. Seals is open in this eye from the bride. Well, there's a power coming toward us. It's the third pull. Yes, it's for us. The revival. Yes, it's here for the bride. Where God has sent the bride's revival. One more time, like He did in the Bible. Spirit of the Lord is sweeping across His land. Glory! Go ahead, Satan, and surrender. There's nothing going to hinder. The coming of the Lord is at hand. Well, the prophet told the story. God send him one more glory. The power of the Lord is moving for His bride. It won't be just mechanics, it'll be mixed with dynamics. The revival, yes, it's here for the... How many believes it tonight? God has sent the bride's revival one more time like He did in the Bible. Well, the Spirit of the Lord sweeping across His land. Glory to God. Go ahead, Satan, and surrender. There's nothing going to hinder. The coming of the Lord is at hand. I said the bride's gonna be ready, for her faith is holding steady. He thought of her before the world began. He's gonna take her away in a moment. Jesus keeps His appointment. The revival, yes, it's here for the bride. Hallelujah! God has sent the bride's revival one more time like He did in the Bible. Well, the Spirit of the Lord is sweeping across His land. Well, go ahead, Satan, and surrender. There's nothing going to hinder. Well, the coming of the Lord is at hand. I know the prophet told the story. God sent one more glory. Well, the power of the Lord is moving in His bride. It won't be just mechanics. It'll be mixed with dynamics. Yes, the revival, it is here for the bride. Glory! God has sent the bride's revival one more time like He did in the Bible. Well, the Spirit of the Lord sweeping across His land. We'll go ahead, Satan, and surrender. There's nothing going to hinder. Well, the coming of the Lord is ahead.
Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. We'll read through verses 14. I want to speak to you tonight on the white throne judgment. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Oh God, don't never let me stand there and be judged that way. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according, notice again, to their works. So it's not a judgment of reward or a judgment for standing there before the judgment seat of Christ as the elect will stand. But it's your destiny is now going to be determined by the works that you have done. Notice verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, that you have made a way that we can escape this terrible, terrible thing that we've read tonight. Every individual in this building, every person that will hear this service, every person that's ever lived on the face of the earth, all of us must stand there. Even the bride will be there, but she won't be on the side receiving judgment. She'll be on the side doing the judging. So I pray, Father, that you would help each of us tonight, that we can realize ultimately we are all going to wind up near this throne of God. May our lives, I pray, be under the mercy of God, so that when we stand there that day, we will not be desiring mercy, because there will be none given. Help us that we can be hid in Christ Jesus. And if we are, there is no fear of the white throne. Grant it, Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Our setting tonight is the Supreme Tribunal. There is no jury. There is no attorney for the accused. There is no mercy here. There is no grace. No pardon. No blood. There'll be no one on the throne that will be able to look at you and say, I forgive you. I pardon you. When John sees this, he must have been overwhelmed by what he says, I saw a great white throne. The splendor, the color of the throne is without stain. It's white. It was great because of being notable in size and also notable in the expanse of the one who was on it. So John goes straight from verse 10 and then into this verse 11. And he says, I saw a great white throne. And the word great in the Greek is the word that we use often in our English language. And it's actually megas, which is where we get the word mega from. Of external form or sensible appearance of things or of persons in particular. Of space and its dimensions. As respects mass and weight, great compass and extent, large, spacious, measure and height, long stature and age, great persons, eminent for ability, virtue, authority, and power. Now notice whenever he moves into this stage of the vision, the millennium is now over, fire has come down from heaven and destroyed those who have come up against the saints of God. Satan has now been thrown into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet already are. Now it moves into the next phase of the vision. And John sees a great white throne. Now if you'll notice, John did not see three thrones. John didn't see a Father and a Son and a Holy Ghost. But John saw a throne. And there wasn't three of them sitting on this one throne. There's one throne and one person sitting on it. Is that right? So he sees a great white. Now look at the word white. Leukos, which is light, bright, brilliant. Brilliant from whiteness and dazzling white. Now this will be in contrast to every person that will stand there. Now there will be people that will stand before the white throne. They will actually come out on the other side of the white throne judgment. And they will be called righteous. They will be granted to enter into eternal life. But even the very appearance of this throne and him that sat on the throne, if something that they have, something that they have not done, will be so presentable to this supreme tribunal, can you imagine how terrified they will be? Now, they'll not be in glorified bodies, but every person who stands on the other side of this white throne will be in the same body that they sinned in. Amen. So if they die at 85 years old, they will not raise a young man. They will raise that same age. Now, whenever they stand there, remember there'll be no mercy. There'll be no blood. There'll be no forgiveness. There'll be no new births, actually new births. But they will be judged by their works. Tells us over and over again, by their works. Now, some will be accepted into the economy of God based upon their works. They were good people and they walked in the light as they saw it, and they didn't stand against light as it was revealed. Now, you imagine as John moves now, he says, him that sat on the throne from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Now, when he looks at this, first he sees the size and the magnitude and the color of the throne. Then the next stage that sticks out to John is him that sat on the throne. Now, who is this that's sitting on the throne? Now, you know, God in his justice, he thinks so different than the way that you and I do. The purpose of the sonship of God has so many relevant meanings to us as the elect. But it will also have a relevant meaning here at the white throne. Now, you think of the mercy of God. Could anyone ever go before the judgment seat of God if God himself, the fullness of deity, never touched by humanity? Would there ever be anything that we could ever plead our case? None of us could. So the sonship of God will actually sit upon the throne and will actually be the element which will judge on the earth. Now, Father God is a spirit which does not have a body other than the sonship. God is not an old man. Jesus, who should know, said God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. No man has ever seen God or never will, the prophet said. So God is that immortal, as Paul said in Timothy, now unto the immortal, invisible, only wise God be power and dominion and strength forever and ever. Amen and amen. But now God desired to reveal himself in the form of a body, and he called that body a sonship, which is not a second person. It's the same person revealed in another form. Now, don't you see why that the white throne judgment, that there will be no appellate court there? There will be no one that can appeal the case. There'll be no one to appeal it to. But if we would put deity alone on the white throne, and we would put the almighty invisible light on that throne of God, could there ever be anyone that would ever pass by that light and be able to go into eternity with any flaws, any human perfections? Of course not. So look what God does. God actually allows the sonship of God to set, Lord have mercy, to set upon the throne of God. By doing that, it will allow those who have been kind to his brothers. Oh God. Those who have been kind to his brothers to go in. Those humans who will stand there and whatever excuse they will try to make because of his sonship, they will be without excuse. Because he himself lived upon the earth as a man. He walked on this earth as a man. He faced battles as a man. Don't you understand? Even the very reflection of what sits upon the throne will be to their condemnation. Now, as I said, had it sat there, you know, total deity, that bright white light which nothing could approach unto, they might could say, you don't understand. You cannot relate to me. But here sits one who was one time a mortal. Oh, glory to God. Here was one who lived on this earth and eat food like we eat and walk like we walk and was tempted like we are tempted, yet made a way to overcome and turn around and say, you can also overcome if you'll receive my life inside of you. Now notice, so then John's view and the vision now, it moves from the throne itself. It must have been so overwhelming that the first thing that John remarks about when he moves into the vision now, that the throne itself is so remarkable that the first thing that actually catches his attention is, I saw a throne, great white throne. So here he actually, this is what he notices before he notices the personage of God in the form of Jesus sitting on the throne. So you imagine now, here is a man who is elect. Here is a man who's called by God, who has the new birth, has the Holy Ghost, and yet he is so overwhelmed when he sees this, that this is what sticks out to him in the vision. So here he breaks into the vision, and when he does, this throne is of such magnitude and the size and the brilliance of its color, and being so bright white, no stain, not off-white. It was so magnificent that here was Jesus on the throne, but this is the first thing that catches John's attention. Now, can you imagine them when the sinners walk up there before the throne? They will be so overwhelmed by the God's brilliance as he's magnified, and they stand there. Here they are, dirty and filthy, and this white throne will absolutely overwhelm them beside the person who is sitting on the throne itself. So John said, I saw a great white throne, and notice him, not them, and him that sat on it. Now notice one being, one person sitting on the throne. So the tribunal of God is not three persons which make up a Godhead. It is not God and an old man God, and then a younger son God, and then a Holy Ghost, whatever they figure he is. But here the white throne will actually be the Lord Jesus in the form of sonship. Now remember, sonship must reign until the perfect kingdom has been initiated in. Then he will turn the kingdom over to Father, and he said that God may be all in all. Praise the Lord. Now, I know you Jesus-onlys have a hard time with that, but y'all just need to let your Jesus-only idea go. Now, remember that in the form of sonship, that judgment will be committed. Oh, you say, Brother Donnie, I've never heard anything like this in my life. Don't you read your Bible? St. John chapter 5, verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto thee. So the sonship of God is what sits upon the white throne. Now remember, it has been the sonship of God under the dispensation of Son of God, Holy Ghost baptism down through the church ages, that has been on the throne of God. Why? With mercy and grace. Now, after he returns back in the millennium, now whenever this happens, what will be? It will be that very one which was on the throne of God in the form of Lamb will now return, and he sits back upon the throne of God, now not in the form of Lamb, but in the form of Judge. The very same one. The very same one that pleaded on people's hearts. The very same one who drawed and drawed and drawed people to come and give their life to him. And he will be the very same one that they will look into his eyes. Amen. Oh my. Notice in Acts chapter 10 verse 42. Now this is an apostolic doctrine in the early church that they believed Jesus was the embodiment of God that would sit upon the throne. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick, which is living, Zeo, quick and dead. Acts 17:29. For as much sin as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. At the times of this ignorance, well notice, at this ignorance at one time, God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. Look at these words. By that. Uh-oh. By that man. Why a man? Because it's going to be men and women that he's going to judge. He will leave them without excuse. They will have no attorney. They will have no one to appeal us. I said, and they couldn't anyway, because it's not the immortal, invisible, only wise God in spirit form who sits there who cannot relate. His own sonship sitting on the throne will give them nowhere to go. What could the adulterer say? What could the man who's fallen in lust say when there sits the Son of God on the judgment seat, who was also tempted by women, who was also tempted with drinking and tempted by lying? What will the liar say, Lord of mercy, when the very one who was tempted on the earth to lie himself, his bodily presence, they will need nothing else. They won't even need the books to be open. But he is so just, the very representation of the sonship of God will condemn them. But he will go even farther than that, and he will open the very book of their life. Oh, Lord. Notice how it will be now. Not spirit, but by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, why would Paul say that? Showing that the one that's going to sit on this throne lived a mortal. He died as a mortal. He was raised from the grave as a mortal. And he experienced a resurrection and a rapture. Glory. Amen. Don't you understand? Jesus had a body change in the tomb. Jesus had a body change. Jesus raised from the dead and his body was changed. And Jesus had a rapture. And now Paul said he will judge all men by that man. Not spirit. Not invisible spirit. Not the Holy Ghost. The man Christ Jesus. And around him will be 10,000s times 10,000s of men, women, humans that lived on this earth in mortal bodies that were changed and transfigured by the power of God. And they also will judge in this white throne judgment. Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. He knew who he was, didn't he? Now watch this. John, now as he moves from phase one of seeing the throne to phase two of seeing him who was on the throne. Now then the next part of this third part of the vision unfolds into the moving back or the moving away or the appearance of the earth and the heavens fleeing away from the presence of him who sits upon the throne. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven, you know, the stars, as the stars will dissipate whenever we see the sun rising in the morning. And the stars are there, of course. The moon is there as well. But when the sun disappears, the brilliance and the brightness of the light of the sun makes them and their light just almost as if though it's not even needed anymore. So we know that the earth itself does not evaporate or totally be obliterated, but yet it will move back and roll away, because he who sits upon the throne is the very epitome of light and brightness and illumination. So all of this flees away. And John said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was no place found for them. Oh my. No place found. I want you to remember now that the white throne judgment will be upon the earth. The very first judgment seat that was ever revealed was revealed on the earth. It was not in heaven. Notice this in the Message of Grace. Remember, the first judgment seat was upon the earth. It was in the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden. And the last judgment seat will be upon the earth at the end time, the white throne. Now remember, it is here that they have sinned. It is here the supreme tribunal will be held. Notice, Brother Bram goes on to say the white throne judgment will be nothing. Oh, think of this, friend. Whenever we come there, when that white throne is set upon this earth, it will be nothing like the courts that we have today. It will be nothing like anything that you and I have ever seen in our lives. Before God can actually usher in the new earth and the new heavens, sin must be dealt with in the final and complete stage. So sin must be judged, and those who come under that judgment must be separated into another realm by which they will suffer their punishment for thousands or even millions of years. Now, it will be ongoing, yet we will be in another world, and they will be so far removed from us that it will not affect us in any way whatsoever. Now, we know that there will be actually degrees of judgment and degrees of punishment that will wind up in the lake of fire, as there is degrees of reward. But whenever we, as the bride of Christ, move into Christ, don't say you're tonight all scared to death and terrified, because if you've already moved into Christ, you'll never come to this white throne judgment. Now, if you're not in it, I hope it does scare you to death. Or at least bring it to a recognition that you get into him while you can. Because you realize once we move beyond this now, can you as mortals imagine standing before God with absolutely no mercy whatsoever given to you? The only way you would go in would be based upon what's written in the books that would be the positive part to your account. Can you imagine any of us here tonight standing before the judgment seat of God? And the only thing that would go for us, the only thing that would go for us when the book of our life is pulled out, and the only thing that could be said about us would be, we done this and this to help the elect, and we done that, and we done this, and we done that. There would be nothing on there about you ordained to life, nothing on there that you'd receive the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, nothing that the blood spoke for you, that he took your place at Calvary, none of that at all. But the judgment would be based simply upon your works. Now, I don't mind telling you, friends, I've done a bunch of works for the kingdom of God. And I don't say it boastingly. I say it because it's the truth. Since I gave my heart to the Lord many, many years ago, I've tried to do many, many things for the kingdom of God and for the people of God. But I don't mind telling you, I would not want any of that to be the claim that I would go into the kingdom of heaven. Oh my, no, don't let me stand there and drag open the book of my life. But oh my, but let it be the life of Jesus that speaks for me. Now, watch this in question and answers. The white throne judgment set. Brother Ben said the books were open and there stands the redeemed, Holy Ghost born church of the living God, standing there in her beauty to judge. The books were open. The judgment was set. Every man was judged thus. There, that was the sinner. Another book was open, not for the Holy Ghost bride now. She'll never take it because she's in the rapture. Again, Jesus came with 10,000s times 10,000s of his saints. The judgment was set. Here they're all around the white throne judgment as we went through the scripture with it. And the books were open. Another book was open, which was the book of life. These in the rapture was judging them. Notice, the raptured ones are judging the non-raptured ones. The called up ones are judging those that were left behind. Do you understand, coming to Happy Valley Church, that either you will be one of these groups or the other? And we will stand there, and if we go in the bride and we're the elect of God and we are caught up in the first catching away, and you miss that and you come up, do you understand that I will have to stand there and judge you? I will have to stand there and give an account. And God says, did anybody tell this man it was wrong to divorce his wife? Did anybody tell this woman she would go to hell for dressing like a prostitute? Did anybody tell these people it's wrong to do this and do this? Can you imagine? I will have to walk up there and you look at me. You say, it's Brother Donnie. It's Brother Donnie. Oh, Brother Donnie, remember me. But I'll have to turn and say, Lord Jesus, I sweated. I prayed. I labored. I fasted. I looked at quotes and scriptures till sometimes my eyes would cross. I'd get so weary. I'd sit with my computer in my lap until my legs were red from here down to the top of my knees where the computer got so hot. Yes, Lord, they were told. Friends, this is not games. This is a very serious thing. You may laugh at what I preach. You may make fun of me. But remember, I'll meet you again. I'll meet you again. I'm talking to you tonight under the dispensation of mercy. But one day you will see me. I'll not be a 56-year-old man. I'll be a young man. But my eyes, if need be, will look like his. If need be, I will stand there with sternness. I will stand there with the look of a judge. Don't you understand what the bride is going to be? Can you imagine the people that have laughed at you and made fun of you, sisters, for your long hair and your long dresses, and the young girls in our church that rebel and constantly fuss and fight and cause you parents such problems? Let me tell you something, young people. You realize all these things you're doing are being recorded? Your behavior every time you call your mom names and your dad names and you rebel against what they tell you about, I don't want you to do this and I don't want you to do that. You remember, all of that is being recorded down in God's books. And unless you go in the bleach of the Lord Jesus, those books will be there to remember you at that day. Oh my. Notice, here they are around the white throne judgment as we went through the scripture. Another book was opened, which was the book of life. These in the rapture was judging them. Is that right? They had done went home and received their glorified bodies. Oh my. And lived through the millennium was here in the white throne judgment judging those. Amen. The thing here is the bride and the bridegroom, and they're standing there. Here comes the dead as they stand before God. 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 And I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God. The God on the throne and the God around him. They are deity. They cannot judge without being deity. They could not judge just on pure humanity. They cannot judge just on humanity alone. But, oh Lord, do you understand? They have entered into that spot. What mortals? As Paul said, dare any of you take a brother to the law? Don't you know you will judge angels? Do you understand the elect of God? Fallen angels which have been kept in prison and chains and are reserved unto the great day. Fallen angels will be brought before the bride of Christ and we will judge them. My. The second resurrection will be the white throne judgment, he says, then the church. Don't you know, said Paul, go amongst the unbelievers and the lawyers and so forth when the saints shall judge the earth. These matters should be judged before the church, not before unjust magistrates and so forth, but before the church our matters should. You take one another law. Listen to this. God pity a man that'll take a Christian to law. That's right. Paul even dared them to do it. Why? Why should not one Christian take another to law? Even if that man's done you wrong, Brother Donnie, that doesn't matter. But you understand what you're doing. If that man has the embodiment of deity inside of that man, you're bringing deity embodied in that man, even though the man may have made mistakes on the outside. But you are subjecting not just his flesh to the court of law. You're subjecting the embodiment of deity inside of him to a natural court of law. Paul said, don't do that. No, he said, don't you know the greatest judges that have ever lived on the earth are the people you're going to church with? Oh my. Lord Jesus. Notice this. Brother Bram says, let's speak on this throne for a few minutes. It was not a throne of mercy. Mercy's throne is finished. No more mercy. It's without mercy. How is this judgment seat going to be the judgment seat of Christ? The white throne judgment. Is there going to be mercy then? There is not one speck of mercy to be given. At the judgment throne, you could scream mercy till you couldn't scream no more. And you might as well scream out in the air somewhere because there's no more mercy. Now you see, he's already in the form of the bridegroom, left the mercy seat when he comes for his bride in the rapture. But in the dispensation of the millennium, There will be mercy given, not under the dispensation of Son of God, but under kingship rule as Son of David. But now he moves from the Son of David, and now he moves into this final role of the sonship part, and that is to execute judgment. For this is the finale or the ending up of the dispensations that God gives under the sonship, by which judgment must be executed by the Son. So here there is no more mercy. He is now entirely the judge. So no matter, now these church people, whenever they raise up, and there will be tens of millions of them that will raise up, and they will walk up before him, and they will know him, but they will know him theoretically, or they will know him in the form of Logos. They will know who they are. They will know who's on that throne. They're not going to be wondering, where am I, where am I, where am I? They will even, death, this is the thing you must realize, that death does not change you. If you're elect of God, well, you know, when death hits you, it don't change you. And if you're a make-believer, if you're a sinner, if you're an unbeliever, it don't change you. So people who are deceived and they go into the channel of death and they think they're all right, whenever they hear the voice of the Son of God and they are raised, they will raise up still with a deceived heart. So they went down in the grave thinking they were ready. Oh my. And their funeral was preached. And my goodness, they were preached right down the streets of gold. But yet they are held in Hades. Sheol. Now I know we get it in our mind that whenever people die, they go into a lake of fire. That is not scriptural. Our God never sends a man to the lake of fire till after the judgment. But they are held in a place somewhere. Are they conscious, unconscious? Who knows? But yet, whatever they, wherever they are not shocked. They are not shocked by thinking, oh my, where am I? Where am I? So when they are raised in this resurrection, they will raise up, walk before the throne of God just as confident as they were when they went to church the last time they were there. And their name was on the book when they went to church and there's a member, or they played tapes or went to Happy Valley or whatever more, and they were confident. Everything was clear. And when they raise up in this resurrection, they will raise with that same deceitful confidence. And they will walk before the throne of God. I cast out devils in your name. I raise the dead. I heal the sick. Right? Now they're not saying that, oh God, I'm deceived. Oh no, I'm lost, I'm lost. They're not going to say that. Think of it, friends. Lord Jesus. Notice he says the throne, of course, is the judgment seat. The reason today that there is mercy is because a mercy seat is sprinkled with an atonement blood. And as long as the blood is on the judgment seat, it is not judgment no more, it's mercy. Because something died to stay judgment. But when the church is raptured, the mercy seat becomes a judgment seat. Oh, brother! Don't never want to stand there. Now I want you to listen how he describes this. Let me stand before a machine gun. Let me be cut to pieces. Let me be sawed inch by inch. Let anything happen, as the oath of the Knights of Columbus. Let them split open my belly and burn sulfur and everything else in me. My arms and legs cut off. Whatever it may be, but never let me stand at that white throne judgment before God. Oh my. Notice again he says, now watch Daniel when he saw the thrones at the judgment. They were empty. He seen thrones cast down. Come down from heaven. The Ancient of Time came down from heaven. But when John saw it, the throne was already occupied by Jesus, and the thrones for the disciples and the patriarchs, the redeemed, was already fulfilled. Now when Daniel sees the dispensation, he sees the thrones plural, but they're empty. God prophetically does not show in the future inhabitants that will sit upon that throne. But when John sees it after the cross, John sees the fulfillment of the occupants of that throne. So he sees the elders and the patriarchs as they have moved to the throne. Now, Daniel saw it 500 years before the time of Christ. Then after Christ makes 2,500 years, and John was living over into the age it is to come. And he's seen all this happen. When John saw him, the throne was filled. The thrones was cast down with the Ancient of Time, and judgment was set. But when John saw him, the elders had not yet been chosen at the time of Daniel. Now watch. But they was already redeemed at the end time. Now notice they've already been redeemed, chosen by God, the elders that will sit there and judge. Now remember, there's three classes always in the judgment. We find out the bride comes back with Christ in Daniel. 10,000 times 10,000 came with the Ancient of Days. The judgment was set, the books was open, another book was open, which was the Book of Life. The sleeping virgin come up for the judgment. And the book of the ungodly was opened. And he separated the sheep from the goats, but the raptured church came back with him. Now notice then the elect will stand there with him in the judgment, not on this side of the throne, but here in the throne. On the other side will be two categories. Those who are found written in the book of life, not the Lamb's book of life, but the book of life. And those whose names were omitted from the book of life or blotted out. Now, whenever they claim their works, we cast out devils, we done this, there will be an immediate reference into the book of life to see if that person's identity can be found in the book of life. Now, they might have been a church member, they might have went to church and done many, many things, but if they turned down the truth, then when they turned down the truth on earth, their name was left, remitted, blotted out, whatever you want to call it, in heaven. So when they stand there, even though their name might have been recorded in the book of life for many, many years, it was there. But once they turn down truth, their name is removed from the book of life. So here they stand. Oh, I've done this. Check the reference. Is John Doe in there? Mary Doe? Whoever's you there? No, sir. There's no name written. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. But I've done this, I've done that, but the book of life does not hold your name. Lord Jesus. Notice this in the 70 weeks of Daniel. Let him that's filthy still. Let him that's holy be holy still. What does he do then? He takes his church, the Holy Ghost filled. What's that, the filthy? That sleeping virgin. Filthy sleeping virgin. And they'll that come up for judgment way over here. We'll get on another map and we continue this over here. Where she comes up to the white throne of judgment and has to be judged by the redeemed. So here will be the sleeping virgin, the foolish virgin. And they will stand there and they are identified as filthy. Filthy. So it's the Lot types. It's the types that's been around every message and every day. They are filthy. Notice again in question and answers. Brother Branham, what happens to the people that are considered the sleeping virgin when they are judged at the judgment? Well, the sleeping virgin will be saved, of course. She'll be saved at the judgment. She'll never be the bride. But she is a saved group of people that will come up in the judgment that will not be included in the bride. But as long as they are virgins, they are before God. See, now notice this, they are to be saved. He separates the sheep on his right side and the unsaved will be the goats on the left at the white throne judgment. Now notice this, so here they will come up. They are the ones in Matthew chapter 25, also Matthew chapter 7. They are the ones that stand before the white throne judgment and they will be judged. Now many of them, they have not refused truth. Maybe they saw a little glimpse of truth, but yet they really didn't see it enough to illuminate them to separation. Now you understand that illumination can illuminate you to such a degree that it separates you from the world. And this is the bride. The bride is so illuminated into the power of the word, the revelation of God, it totally separates her from herself, first of all, and separates her from the world. Other people get enough illumination to where they get illuminated just enough that it separates them from God.
because they see it's the truth, but they refuse to walk in it. But the foolish virgin never got enough illumination to illuminate them to total separation from the presence of God. Maybe they saw certain things and they thought, well, this could be right. I don't know. You know, I don't know if it is or not. But God looks at them and sees that the illumination that they did have did not bring them to a spot to where they crossed the point of no return. You understand what I'm saying? So a person, Jesus told the Pharisees, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But because you say we see, therefore your sin remains. So this is one thing about you and I. We right now in the present body that we live, we do not have the ability to properly judge where people will go. You see, we do not know. We may look at them and say, well, if they continue to do this and that and the other, that may be true. But tomorrow, they might be a total different person than what they are tonight. So whenever you and I judge people, we should never judge people's destination anyway. We can look at their fruits. We can look at it and say, well, if they continue on to do this, I'll tell you, it don't look good for them. But as far as you and I determining their destiny, we do not as of yet have that ability. Thank God we don't. So whenever we're looking at people and we say, oh my, you know, they've sat around the church for so many years. That's true. They may have, but that don't mean that they have a whole lot of illumination. They may sit there to them all they've heard for years and years and years. It's nothing but a repeating of Logos. And they have not received enough illumination to separate them away from the presence of God. It's no more than a bunch of quotes and a bunch of scriptures. And they will come through the tribulation and they'll give their life. And they'll raise at the white throne judgment. I guarantee we're going to be surprised at the people that maybe will go in. And some that we think will go in. And most of all, you'll be surprised that you made it. Oh my. Now, watch this. Oh goodness. These people. Now watch this. He goes into this. Here we are this morning, Father, gathered for no other purpose but to know, to study, to know rather the will of God, what we must do to make Christ real to the people of this generation. Knowing surely that in the day of judgment, we will be brought face to face with this generation. And being ministers, we will be judges. And the people to which we have spoken to and their attitude toward the word that we bring them. Now notice Brother Brandon isn't saying I, but we. The people which we have spoken to, their attitude towards the word that we bring them will determine their eternal destination. Therefore, Lord, in that day, we would be a judge. For or against the generation that we preached in. Oh, children, don't make me witness against you that day. Please. Now, the wicked and the foolish virgin that raised at that day, what type of a body will they be in? Watch this. This question was asked. What manner of body will the wicked have at the last resurrection, at the great white throne judgment? The sinner will rise in the resurrection to be judged in the body he's committed the sin in. He'll have to stand the judgment in the resurrection. Resurrection is not replacement. Now remember when they stand there gray-headed, gray in their beard and old ladies and all that sort of thing, that within itself will speak against them because there is no new body for them to go into. So the body they're raised up in, the very judgment is upon them in the image that they are bearing. Now he said he was of the same body. Resurrection is not replacement. It's bringing that up which went down. When Jesus raised from the dead, he was the same body that went down. He raised in the same kind of a body. We rise in that same body that we go down in. It's a resurrection, not a replacement. Now, the Bible says we'll be judged according to the sins done in the body. And when the wicked rises, he will be judged in the same body that he sinned in, the same thing. But don't you see the difference between them and the elect? The elect do not go to the marriage supper of the Lamb in the same body they sinned in. Oh, glory. You do not go. Brother Donnie, what if we're alive and remain? That ain't the same body. You were transformed. It is not the same body. It would not be fitting for you to go into the presence of God with one gray hair. It would not be fitting for none of us to have glasses or contact or one wrinkle under our eyes. It would not be fitting to stand before the Ancient of Days with a gray hair in your head. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now notice, John now he goes to this other part of the vision. I saw the dead, verse 12, small and great, stand before God. So apparently John, as he moves into the vision now, and this is the fulfillment of what Jesus said, marvel not at this, for it will come to pass that all of those that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Remember him talking about that? Some at the resurrection of life, some to the resurrection of damnation. Now you imagine as John sees them. Now they are not all standing there as if all of humanity was in the same class as far as socially and all of that. But John sees them small and great. So there were great people standing there. Maybe it was kings or presidents or monarchs. And they still had this something about them that they were standing there as a so-called great person before the throne of God. And then John sees little bitty people. He sees small people. He sees people of a very little significance in the earth. But notice how that he still sees them. Why? It must be that way. They are raised up, you know, in the same way. Now, can you imagine Hitler when he stands there? Can you imagine Napoleon? All the dictators of the world, Diocletian and many of the men, and they will stand up there in their greatness. The emperors of Rome will walk before the throne of God, and they will still have this something about them that they will appear as great men. Every president of the United States, the Supreme Court justices, all of these people, they will have that something about them in them. There will be peasants, there will be the poor, and they will rise. And John said, I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God. God. So here's all these different ranks and degrees. The poor, the rich, the slave, the servant, the master, the kings. And there they all stand and they all walk up. Those who pull crooked deals, those who killed the saints. Can you imagine when Diocletian, the Roman emperor, stands there? Can you imagine when Nero stands there? And on the other side of the throne stands a man that one night his body was rolled in tar while he was alive. And they stuck him up in Nero's garden and they lit him for a human torch. And Nero walked by in his garden at night and here was these human Christian torches that was burning. You imagine Nero glancing up at him and looking at him and laughing at him. Now those eyes are on the other side of the judgment seat. And they're going to be looking at Nero and Diocletian and all these different ones who raised that year. Their greatness will not get them anywhere with God. At one time, to mention the name of Nero or Napoleon, to have an advocate from Nero, it was a great thing. To have a magistrate or someone who would speak on their behalf. But now Nero, in the presence of God, will mean no more than the poorest pauper that'll stand there. He'll mean no more than the beggars that are living in the streets of Bombay or Mumbai is now. He'll mean no more than the poorest man that ever lived. Here will stand the great generals and the great captains, and here will stand Hitler. Here will stand Cain. Here will stand all the people that have lived down through time, the dead, small and great, stand before God. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Before death can be destroyed, before Hades can be annihilated, it must first be emptied of its inhabitants. John looked in the vision when he goes over to Revelation 21, on over into Revelation 22, and he says, I saw no more sea. But before the sea can be lifted from the earth, the inhabitants of the sea must be emptied out. So the voice of the Son of God, the judge, speaks. Remember Brother Bam said when he called Lazarus from the grave, if he hadn't have specified Lazarus' name, the general resurrection would have took place right then. So all he does is speak. Whatever words he used, we don't know. But whenever he speaks, the dead, small and great, millions, millions times millions of people, billions of them, will rise up from the sea. Rise up from the grave. Oh my. Cain. There'll be Abel on the other side of the throne. The wicked antediluvians. Those who laughed at Noah. Those who made fun of Enoch. All of them now will be on this side. Now remember, the sea, the waters swallowed them up. But God commanded their watery grave to give them forth. Can you imagine when he speaks? Millions of people that have died in the naval wars and have been killed in ships crossing the Pacific and the Atlantic and the Indian Ocean and all that. There will be millions that will come up out of the waters. Lord Jesus, help us, God. Notice he says, I saw the dead, small and great. Notice the position of their body. Stand before God. Now some of you have been in court before. And you've seen when evidence is being presented. The prosecutor or the defense attorney. And the person is sitting. The accused. The case is placed against them. Or their attorney is placing their defense. And they're seated. But then when the verdict is reached by the jury, they have them to stand up. Notice there is no jury to deliberate. There is no defense attorney. So they stand. Lord, children, how long will this take? How will it be when these great people walk before God? There will be great preachers of denominations. There will be so-called great people of this message. That message people thought were so great. And they'll miss the rapture and come up before the judgment seat. Can you imagine all these people in the message who hate preachers? Every preacher-hating message person will wind up in the white throne judgment. There'll not be a one of them going the rapture. There can't be. How could you hate God's word and go in the rapture? How could you hate? Preachers is part of the Bible. Preachers is part of the very ministry of Jesus Christ himself. How could you hate part of Jesus and go in the rapture? How could you hate going to church? How could you hate the things of God and ever go in the rapture? You can't. Can't you see? Many of these people are so convinced they're hearing the word of God straight from the tapes and they hate church and they hate preachers and they hate all this. There's no way a one of them, not one, can go in the rapture. I don't care who they are, how many times they've been around Brother Brown. That has nothing to do with it. They will stand before God, the small and the great. The small around the message that missed the rapture will stand there. The great around the message that missed the rapture will stand there. Preachers at one time who stood and preached this message and no longer preach it, they will stand there. Laity, song readers, whoever, they will all stand there who have missed the rapture. Now watch. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Now watch, Brother Bram said, the Bible said judgment was set and the books was open. Is that right? Books of sinners. Books of sinners. Now I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us sitting here tonight used to have one of them books. Glory to God. I had one of them, Brother Jerry. You had one. Every one of you tonight had a book of a sinner. But if you're in Jesus Christ tonight, he reached over in his side, and Brother Ram saw in the vision, he reached over in his side and wrote on there, pardon, forgiven, and took that old book and threw it in the sea of his forgiveness. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Don't you understand, for the real elect of God, there is no book of sinner between you and Jesus. Oh, glory! The only book that you have is a marriage certificate. Hallelujah! There is no book of sinners for the elect. I used to have one. You used to have one, but I don't have because he wrote pardon on my book.
So let's look at it just for a few minutes before we close. The throne in its magnificence. Brilliant white. Him on the throne, his elect around him. Will it start with Cain? I don't know exactly what order he'll choose. Will it start with the very first one? But there they will begin somewhere. And it'll go right on down. Here will be the books, things written. Now watch, he says, the books of sinners, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. Now there'll be a cross-reference. The books of sinners, there'll be a book of life. Those will be going back and forth. Notice this. And every man was judged thus. And who's doing the judging? Jesus. And the saints. He said, he came and ministered unto the Ancient of Days, whose hair is like wool, and said, 10,000 times 10,000 ministered to him in the judgment. Lord, children, can you imagine what a position you've been called to? Amen. You have been called to minister to the Lord Jesus in the judgment seat. What in the world could I ever do for him? I don't rightly know. I don't rightly understand what I'll do, but somehow I'll be ministering to him. You'll be ministering to him. We minister to him now as we worship and praise and love and adore. But we're going to be there ministering. We're going to be there support witnesses. I don't know. But notice, minister to him in the judgment. Here Jesus returns as king and queen. The wedding's over. He's married. Glory to God. He's king and queen. Notice, here's king and queen standing there. And there stands that sanctified bunch. God said, stand here to my right side. That's the book that was opened with sinners. Go over to my left. Here's the ones that had their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Notice, three books represented. The Lamb's Book of Life, the bride, the Book of Life, the foolish virgin, the book of sinners, the unregenerated. Lord Jesus. Watch this. The judgment was set and the books were open. The books, plural, was open and every man was judged out of the books. The things that was written there. And look, the books were open. He saw him coming 10,000 times 10,000. Ministered to him. Ministered to him. Saints come with him. Is that right in Daniel? And the books were open. Listen to this. That's the book of your life. So can you imagine, friends, when those folks stand there, a woman who dresses bad and wrong, and she goes out to Walmart or works at Walmart, and she stands there all day long dressed indecent and ungodly, and every man that comes through and looks at her and thinks a bad thought, every one of them went down on the book. All that evidence will be there against her. And every man that come through, it'll be against him. Those have been disrespectful to God, those that laughed at his bride, made fun of his bride, whatever more, all that is written down. Now this is what they will face. It will not just be the Bible. The Bible will be there. The Word of God will be there. But it will be the Bible, the book of life, and the book of their life. Lord Jesus. God have mercy. Lord. That's the book of your life. Every man was judged thus, the sinner judged thus. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. So Jesus Christ will judge these people by the evidence that is written in the book of their life. Can't you see why it's so important to have the evidence destroyed? Would any of you all want to be judged by the book of your life? I ain't talking about before you got saved. I'm talking about since you got saved. All the mistakes and failures that we've made, Brother David, and all the shortcomings that we've done, Brother Darrell, and all, even the minister brothers, would any of us want to stand there by our works alone, by our good things alone, by our faithfulness alone? Come on.
No, sir, not me, friend. No, sir, not me. I wanna meet him in mercy. I wanna meet him in mercy and love. Oh God, help us. You imagine then every sinner will be held accountable. So the books will contain the volumes. Now for those that live 50, 60, 70, 80 years, can you imagine the volumes of books that'll be for one person's life? All the wrongdoing, all the evil, all the things that they've done. And maybe they passed by a church sign and they laughed at it. Made fun of it, yet a little something pricked their conscience. There's a God where you spend eternity, and something kind of done something on the inside of them that'll meet them at the day of judgment. Yet they went right on gambling, lying, smoking, you know, whatever it was that they done. And all of that. Now when they stand before God, can you imagine the judges in our justice system, the Supreme Court judges? They will walk before God, and God will remind them of a case that they judged in America. The case of abortion. And those judges who made that fatal decision, it was recorded not only in the annals of history, but it was recorded in heaven. All the presidents who support it, all the congressmen, all the senators, all the parties, whether Democrat or Republican. And then when you cast your vote, remember, your vote is also written down in heaven. Come on now. You want it wrote down in heaven that you sided with homosexuality? You want it wrote down in heaven that you took sides with a candidate that stood for a bunch of this stuff that's anti-scriptural? Go ahead. I'd rather stay home and not vote, for I'd have it wrote down in heaven that I sided with something contrary to the Word of God. Remember, friends, it'll all be there. All the politicians might pull all their deals and keep it hid from the public, but you won't keep nothing hid from God. All the secrets will be disclosed. All the emperors, all the kings, all the rulers, all the judges with their incorrect judgment, it'll all be brought to light. Lord Jesus. Now watch, to determine the degree of punishment, the book of life will not be the reference used. The Bible will not be the reference used. It will be the book of their own life. It will be the reference book that will be referred to according to the degree of punishment that they receive. Those things which are written against them. There again, I know it's not popular to say it, but can you imagine doctors who could have used their ability to help deliver babies, and how many of them will stand there before God guilty of murdering innocent children? And it wasn't bad enough that they supported it in Supreme Court. Then they finally go in the last 10 or 15 years and do the partial birth abortion, where the baby is actually partially delivered. And then they take a pair of scissors while the head is still in the womb and gouge in the back of the neck while the baby is still alive and cut the cord in the back of it. Our doctors would swear on their own oaths to protect human life and help one another. I saw a picture of a young lady just the other day, 20-some years old, and she was actually pulled out of her mother's womb and thrown into a trash can. And an abortion clinic and a nurse come out off of her shift that day and heard that baby still crying in a trash can. And she took that baby home and raised her. And this is what our nation has come to. They may be forgotten in the eyes of doctors, in the eyes of the Supreme Court, in the eyes of politics, but they're not forgotten in the eyes of God. Come on, church, don't get quiet on me. Oh, I know it'll get illegal to preach against it. That's all right. I'll preach against it. Y'all come and see me in jail. I know it'll get illegal to preach against all these things, but we don't care. We're standing for what's right. I want it wrote down in the books of life that God had a preacher in Happy Valley that was willing to stand for the truth. What can a doctor say when all the cases are written right down? What can the doctor... What will the Supreme Court justices say? What will the presidents who in their ability and capacity could have appointed people on the Supreme Court to reverse the evil laws of the land? But instead, they played politics. And no, they probably wouldn't get a re-election. You hear the election things just like I do. You see what a lot's going on. Abortion rights and women's rights and all this and that. Come on, children. What is it? Nothing but politics. Remember, the prophet told us whenever they give women the right to vote, it's one of the worst things they ever done. Who are they playing on this election more than any other election in history? Women, both sides. You make fun of him if you want to. He knew what he's talking about. Oh, my goodness. And I think of me. What would be on mine if mercy hadn't rewrote my life? If he hadn't called me by his grace, what would I wind up being? A drunk, a liar? What would you have been? How big would have been your book or books? But one day mercy began to pull on you. Thank God you're willing to yield to it. And when you did, he took that old sinner book of yours and wrote pardon on it and threw it in the sea of forgetfulness. Praise God. Does that mean you're free from mistake now? Oh no, you still make mistakes, but you ain't no longer got a sinner book. You got a marriage certificate. You got your marriage license. And when you do something wrong, you say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, God. Since there ain't no sinner book to write that down in, there ain't no place to record it. Glory. Glory. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray if there's a way, I won't have to look at some of these people that day, Lord. Please, Lord, some of these young people, some of these older ones, please, God, may you move upon their hearts and help them to see this is not a dream. It's not some fairy tale. It's not a religion for old people. It's a truth for all people of all ages. Lord Jesus, we pray for your mercy tonight. If there's one in this building or one that's here in the service that's still got that sinner book, may something happen right here tonight, Lord. Where that book can be thrown in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Lord, we know that wrath and judgment is impending for our nation. We do not know, Lord, how long we'll be here. We are told that this election that we're facing is probably the greatest election in our lifetime. I don't know who's supposed to be in there, Lord. Here we are a week away. But I pray your will be done. Whoever we need in there to usher in the things that's supposed to happen, so be it. We're not concerned about politics. We're not concerned about Democrat Party, Republican Party. We're concerned about the deity party. That's the one we're part of. That's what we want, Lord. Father, I pray you be mindful of your elect, Lord. If we got some more time here on the earth, be mindful of us, Lord God. Help us, Jesus. You see the direction our nation's going. We don't want to sit around, Lord, and just be so heavenly minded that we don't even concerned about it. Well, whatever's going to be is going to be. No, Lord. But I'm going to look at it this way. I ain't never voted. And Lord, if I did, it wouldn't make much difference. No way. But there's one thing I have got. I'm not a Democrat nor a Republican, but I am a righteous man. And the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So Lord, I bring that before you tonight. I know our nation is past redemption. As a whole, she'll never be saved. But however long, Lord, that we're to be here, I pray for your elect. I pray, oh God, for the welfare and the benefit of your people as long as we live in this nation. Ahab was a very wicked, evil man. And you had the prophet to tell him of certain things that was going to come upon him. And yet Ahab began to pray. And you sent the prophet back to him and tell him, I won't have, let it happen in his lifetime, but in his son. And we as message people, if we're not careful, we just sit around in the gloom and the doom. We don't even pray for peace. We don't even pray, Lord, for you to move on our behalf. We just sit around, well, whatever's going to be is going to be. I wonder how many things the devil has pulled over our eyes because we sit around in such an ignorant attitude. Lord, help us. I pray for your mercy to us tonight, Lord God. I pray, Father, you see our economy and our situations in terrible situation. I don't pray for the nation. I pray for your sheep. I pray for the benefit of your people, Lord, that's having a hard time paying their bills and getting gas to come to church. I pray for your elect, Lord God. I pray you'd move on our behalf, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord. If there's a one, Lord Jesus, here tonight who's streaming this service, and that book of the sinner is still alive, still there, and things has been written, even maybe today, it was written on their sinner book. Lord God, may that book be destroyed tonight. May those of us who this great event has already happened, may Lord Jesus, it make us so appreciative of your grace and your mercy. It don't make us, Lord, to where we want to live loose and lax and cold and indifferent. It makes us want to live so close to the cross. Lord Jesus. And I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Lord Jesus, help us that we can be God-like so we can judge God-like. Grant it, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, mercy, rewrote my life. Amen. Mercy, rewrote my life. Glory. I should have fallen. My soul cast down, but God's mercy, it rerolled. Let's sing it together now. Aren't you glad it did? Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, mercy, it rerolled my life. It thrown my sinner book away. Oh, mercy. Jesus rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. I know you're aware of the storm up in New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, and all those places up through there. I've been in contact with Brother Robert. I think maybe Brother Louis might have mentioned something about it, but we certainly want you to remember all those people there. I'm sure you've seen the pictures in the paper on the internet or whatever. It's absolute total devastation. I thought as I looked at it today, you know, it's terrible, horrible as it is, but that's a drop in the bucket compared to what waits for our nation. Aren't you glad the Rock of Ages is cleft for you to give you a place where you can run into? God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. You appreciate His grace tonight. If your account has not been settled, do it before you leave this place. Make sure that old sinner book of yours is gone. Make sure that event has happened to you where Jesus dipped His finger in His side and wrote on there pardoned. But remember, a pardon is only a pardon when it's received as a pardon. I receive it. I receive it. Full, complete. Amen. I don't want enough religion to make me miserable. I want full pardon. Full pardon. Amen. Full pardon. Oh, glory. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. Let's sing it as we go. Oh, mercy, rewrote my life. Sing it together as you go. God's mercy. Rewrote all of our lives. Oh, I should have fallen. My soul cast down. But mercy. I love you, saints. Rewrote my life.